الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وقولهم إنا قتلنا المسيح عيسى ابن مريم رسول الله وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم. The crucifixion, no doubt, is the most important event in Christianity. It is an event that is symbolic of what many Christians believe is the fulfillment of the mission of God, of the Son of God, of the Spirit of God eventually. And that is to die for the sins of mankind. And that God gives away his only begotten Son in order that mankind is atoned for the sin of Adam, in order that mankind can now grow and develop. The symbol, of course, of the crucifixion is the cross. Although we don't know exactly from the Gospels how this cross looked like. Our imagery is what we see in our local churches, for example. You may see outside the church that there is that cross which everybody is used to. But that is no way to be understood from what is there within the Bible. One may go towards the understanding that it could be, according to the Acts of the Apostles, a tree or a pole. And nor is it necessarily written within the Bible that Jesus was nailed onto a cross. You see, the image that all of us are used to is the image that Jesus is on the cross and that the nail is pierced through the hands of Jesus. This, of course, cannot be necessarily directly seen within the Bible. Yes, one may go to certain passages of John and see that certain traces may have been left from such punishment or such torture. But there's no doubt that at the time the Romans would find it normal that they may have certain crucifixions that may take place, especially for the worst of crimes. In some cases, these were seen as being deterrents for the people. Imagine you see somebody hung up upside down in public, or you see somebody hung for everyone to remember that if you dare to speak out against the state, you dare to cause trouble, for example, within the state, then this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be the victim of a crucifixion. Therefore, many Christians in the world, the cross, although we don't know of the exact shape and we've never seen in the Bible a nail in the hands, but for many of them, what they infer from the story of the final moments of the life of Prophet Jesus alayhi salam was that Jesus was nailed onto a cross, that Jesus was tortured, that Jesus ends up partly carrying his cross, that Jesus is in the middle of two bandits or in the middle of two thieves, and that Jesus is therefore executed by the Romans. Of course, as we mentioned, the Jews of that time had got what they had wished for. They had made sure that in every way possible, they were able to put Jesus alayhi salam in trouble. The question arises, what is Islam's opinion on this whole issue of Jesus being on the cross or Jesus being crucified? Because for many Muslims, especially those living in the West, we are used to, for example, one stage or another, when we're at school, being taken to a church. When we go to the church, what do we see? We see Jesus on the Cross. The question arises, does the Qur'an indicate, or does the Qur'an conclude that Nabi Isa alayhi salam was crucified? Or does the Qur'an point to, for example, another conclusion? Because the Qur'an seemingly, when you look at some of the wordings in relation to what happened with Jesus alayhi salam, you cannot blame a Muslim if they come to a conclusion that Jesus possibly could have died. As in, at the end of the day, if I now turn around and hear the word wafat, the word wafat for me normally relates to the death of somebody. If I see in the Quran Jesus alayhi salam saying falamma tawaffaytani, or I see inna mutawaffik, when I see these passages, be it in Surah Ali Imran or be it in Surah Al-Ma'idah, a person looks in the English language, the word wafat is normally death. Now, when I say that I as a Muslim may not conclude that Jesus died and that Jesus is still alive, then someone might show me the Quran and say the Quran says Jesus is tawaffa. When someone in our community dies, what do we say? We say hadha tawaffa, for example. This person is what's happened to him. Automatically we think death. And the Imam of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, for example, when you go to the mosque, what do we call the night when an Imam of Ahlul Bayt has died? What do we call that night? Wafat. True? Now in the Quran, I see that in the Quran, there is a clear indication that possibly, the wafat of Jesus may have taken place. Those of you who have your Qurans at home and are watching, in Surah 3, verse 55 of the Quran, or in Surah 5, verse 117 of the Quran, Allah does mention that there is a certain capturing that has taken place, very often associated with death. Some Muslims will say, but we don't believe Jesus died, or Jesus died on a cross, or Jesus was crucified. Then how do we answer those who show us Surah 3, verse 55, or those who show us Surah 5, verse 117? As for the Christians, the reality is that one may argue, even in Christianity, the crucifixion and what takes place is very vague. I mentioned, we don't necessarily know the exact shape of what he was meant to have died on. You look at, for example, was he really nailed to the cross? The Gospels don't seem to mention a direct nailing in the cross. Further than that, what do we also see? We see some of the Gospels will mention there was an earthquake at the time, others don't. Some mention he was given wine, others don't. Some mention the hours, others don't. Some mention those around him, their bones were broken. So you see, even within the Gospels, do we have four clear narratives? I'm not going to deny that the Gospels themselves give us like a maqtal of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. You know how us Shia have a maqtal of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? A maqtal where we remember, for example, what took place on the 10th of Muharram from the morning till the afternoon. Likewise, the Gospels are like the maqtal of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Literally, you see the film that Mel Gibson done, The Passion of the Christ. That film was like a maqtal of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Because the Bible itself gives you a maqtal, literally an understanding of the place of the martyrdom of Nabi Isa alayhi salam is clear within the Bible. Therefore, when I'm a Muslim, I'm faced with a challenge. The challenge for me as a Muslim is that Nabi Isa says, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. And if I'm a Christian, I'm seeing certain parts of the Gospels are contradicting each other as to what's taken place. Therefore, how do I conclude what happened in the final moments of the life of Nabi Isa alayhi salam? If Allah in the Quran says, Inna mutawafiq, I'm thinking wafat means death. And if in the Bible it says that this happened, but this one doesn't mention this part, that one doesn't mention this part, this one contradicts this part, how can I be so certain about the crucifixion? To add further to that, there is a famous line which you see in Psalms 22:1. My Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Biggest problem with that line is you are meant to have come to die for us. Why are you now hesitant about it on the cross? Tonight, let's examine the crucifixion and try and understand what are the opinions within Christianity and within Islam on this fundamental issue. I'd like to do it in the following stages. Number one, how did the Jews eventually trap Nabi Isa alayhi salam to convince the Romans to finally get rid of him? Number two, when we look within the Bible, how does the Bible describe to us the final moments of the life of Jesus? And how does the Bible come to the conclusion that he was crucified? Number three, if the Quran says that إني متوفيك, or Nabi Isa says فلما توفيتني, wafat means death. So how could we say he's still alive? Number four, also when Nabi Isa says والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت, isn't he already saying from the minute that he's born there'll be a day when I die? Isn't that the clearest proof? Number five, how does the Quran make it clear that what the Jews were saying was not true? He was not killed, nor was he crucified. Number six, what does walakin shubbiha lahum mean? It was made to appear like that. Who exactly was the one in the place? Number seven, when the Psalm says, my Lord, why me? How does it contradict Trinity? How does it contradict atonement? How does it contradict original sin? How does it contradict the whole passage and all? And finally, Jesus alayhi salam was backstabbed by those close to him. Which of the imams of Ahlul Bayt, his own cousins, no, even his wife, backstabbed him to end up killing him? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. There is no doubt that the Jews were responsible for the death of Jesus alayhi salam. But this statement that I make should not lead to any rhetoric of hate to anyone. At the end of the day, Muslim history, Christian history, Jewish history, all of us have our blemishes. All of us have our moments where we have been embarrassed by certain people's behaviors. And never should the behavior of a group of people be generalized on others. Because for years, because of the Jews and what they did to Jesus, people blame them on everything in the Christian world. And that's not acceptable according to Islam. But the context of Jesus alayhi salam being tried to be killed was because of the Jewish community. And how did they trap him in particular? On one particular question. What was it? If we have a dinar, a denarius, a pound, a dollar, taxes, do we pay these taxes, Jesus, to the Roman authorities or not? That question became the reason for one of the most famous quotes in history. Why? Because when they're asking this question to Jesus, it's a trap. How's it a trap? It's a trap because if Jesus says, when you ask him, should I pay my taxes to the government? If Jesus says yes, then he's not really a man of God. Because how can I pay my taxes to a government that's against the word of God? A government that's corrupt in my eyes? A government that's willing to destroy the temple? If he says no, then who will he be in trouble with? He'll be in trouble with the government. The Romans will turn around and say, hold on a minute. Are you trying to say that people do not pay taxes to us? Because it's a question that I can face as a problem in my society today. If someone phones in on a television channel and says, do I pay taxes to the Homeland Revenue, for example? If I turn around and I say, yes, you do, then I'm okay. But people will say, hold on a minute, how could you give taxes to disbelievers? And if I say no, then I'm in prison straight away. Jesus alayhi salam, this one question was one of the reasons he got taken towards being killed. Why? Because Nabi Isa alayhi salam had to answer this question precisely. Who was asking him? It was the very clergy of his religion. Because sometimes the clergy are the ones who know how to use the loophole to destroy your reputation. The clergy know which things make the masses get angry. They know how to spread something so that wildfire is caused. The Pharisees did exactly that. The Pharisees highlighted, you can look very religious, you can talk about God, but you could be the biggest fitna maker in the whole community. Notice one thing, they had all the knowledge, they had the scripture, but they were the biggest troublemakers, which goes to highlight that sometimes when you see people who look the most religious and who are quoting you hadiths and verses of the Quran, always be careful that these people are not the ones who are trying to destroy and cause fitna within your own community. So what took place? They asked him the question. Jesus, we want to pay our taxes. Do we pay to the Roman authority? If he says yes, then he's a sellout. He says, no, the Romans are going to finish him. What did he reply? One of the most famous replies in the history of mankind. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And render unto God that which is God's. Some people, how did they take that? They took it as, for example, look, these people, Caesar, they are the people of this world. You give to God towards the Akhirah. Yes, that's how some people took it. No. The reality of that answer is something wonderful. Give to Caesar that which rightly belongs to him. Yes, if you owe the government certain taxes, you give to them that which belongs to them. But you give back to God that which belongs to God. What belongs to God? What does God have a haq on me? God has a haq on me that I worship my Lord. That's a right of God on me. God has a haq on me that I look after the nafs that God has given me. I look after myself and purify it. God has a haq on me that I am someone whose tongue is not foul-mouthed, whose eyes do not look at haram, whose ears do not listen to that which is haram, whose stomach does not eat that which is prohibited, who honors his father, honors his mother, honors his neighbor, honors those in the community. That Imam Zain al-Abidin explained fully in Rasalat al-Huquq. Therefore, when Nabi Isa alayhi salam turned around, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Listen, if Caesar, you owe him something, Rome is owed something, give it back to Rome. Simple. But that which God owes you, you give it back to God. Render, if you delete the word render and you put the word give back. Ultimately, that was the message of the prophets of God. I am not going to live in this country as some Muslims did and some Muslims still do. What do? They steal from the country because they say the country is kuffar. Have you ever had a friend who does that? He's like, bro, I'm going to steal from the shop. He said, Baba, stealing is haram. He said, no, but bro, they took my oil. They took my government. They took my country. Okay, so why are you benefiting from their hospitals? Why are you benefiting from their schools? Otherwise, go and live. There are some Muslim majority countries. Go live there. MashaAllah, there are certain Muslim majority countries you love. You'll die for. Wallah, they'll never give you a passport even if you change the color of your skin. But still, go live there. Go live in the Muslim country. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God that which is God's. Of course, with such answers, still they would turn around and tell the Romans, you see, his answers aren't clear. You see, even they started to accuse him of working with the devil. You see, they started to throw accusations at him. They hated the fact that he made them reassess the way they dealt with the fiqh of their time. Let me put this as a bottom line. What do I mean by this? Islamic law, which today people either determine with words such as sharia or words of fiqh, I don't need to go on the development of how these concepts emerged. Sometimes you can be very dry with it. You can have no heart with it. They hated the fact that he came with a spirit which was love and forgiveness. A spirit where a person doesn't just apply the law literally, but a person looks at forgiving, opening doors, repentance, and so on. And he opened up about their hypocrisy. You know, when they asked him, who do we give the taxes to? The government. He replied, you're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what you are. You people, you who are the priests of my religion. You claim that you are the priests of the Torah and you're looking after the Torah. Wallah, you're the biggest munafiqs. You can claim that you have knowledge of a holy book. What's the point if all you do is cause fitna between people in a community? What's the point? You people are the biggest troublemakers. Because of that, they had their own trial at the Jewish High Court. Look at the lead up to the crucifixion. The Roman trial wasn't the one and the only one. There was first where? The Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin court of the Jews, they're the ones who first said, he is guilty. After that, they went to Pontius Pilate. Then when they went to Pontius Pilate, what was the only thing you need to do to cause the ruler to suddenly have a problem? This person is causing trouble in the community. Ban him, destroy him, kill him. And that's where, when it went towards Pontius Pilate, what happened? That's where the order was given that the person is to be what? The person is to be crucified. Because at that time for the Romans, it was normal on that day if 16 people were holding, for example, a wooden pole. Because remember, we don't know how the cross looked like exactly. We only see contemporary society shows us this. In the Bible, it doesn't say it looked like that. In the Bible, it doesn't say nail in the hand. The Bible doesn't say that the cross looked like this. Possibly a tree-like shape or a pole. Anyway, so what happens is Pontius Pilate, this person flog him. They would whip their people very normally, flog them, make them carry whatever that wooden pole is in the streets. And at that moment, you'd expect that your companions are the loyal ones. And that's why you find Imam says that there's a difference between the loyalty of the companions of Isa alayhi salam versus the loyalty of the companions of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Nabi Isa's disciples, not all of them, stood for him at the moment he needed them. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, you see his disciples were there ready to give their limbs and lives for him. Whereas Nabi Isa, some of them hid, some were scared. Some even sold their souls for a paltry sum to find him. Here is where the question emerges. That Jesus alayhi salam, to Christians, what happened? He was taken towards where? Towards being crucified. That's clear in the Bible. And that what's unclear are some of the conditions of the crucifixion. Was there an earthquake? Wasn't there. Was he given a vinegar drink or a sort of wine drink, or wasn't he? Was there an exact time? How long was he crucified for? What happens after? All of this is extremely vague for us as Muslims. If I read the Bible, it's very vague for me. Because for me, I see Friday, crucified. The Jews go to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate is told that Jesus has died. He's baffled how he's died so quickly. In those days, it was normal, the crucifixion. What would it do to you? It caused a slow death, more painful. Jesus, within 9 hours already, they told him he's dead. He's like, hold on a minute. The ones whose legs we've broken to make sure that they're in more pain, those ones haven't died. You know what they say? There's two bandits next to him, or there's the two thieves next to him. Those two haven't died. Jesus' legs have not even been smashed or broken. We don't know if there's a nail inside his hand. And now you're telling me that he's died. Even Pilate, the emperor of Rome, is thinking, hold on a minute, what's going on? Something's happened. It can't be the one that we've supposedly killed. It cannot be. That's no way. How are you saying to me that he's died? And then the Jews say to him, well, go and seal the tomb where he is, because his disciples may come and take him out and form a second deception. Why do the Jews say second deception? What's the first deception that they know about that's happened? Never forget the ayah in the Quran throughout your whole life. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. You plot and we plot. You plan and we plan. We're the best of planners. It's as if the Jews knew something had gone wrong with them getting Jesus killed. And they were adamant that something's going to happen. If he reappears, then his disciples will say, truly, Jesus did not die. By the way, I'm saying all of this through biblical knowledge and inference. If you look at what's happened, Friday, crucified. Saturday, the Jews on the Sabbath are telling the Romans, cover where he was. Because if he appears and he hasn't died, they'll say he's resurrected. Something's gone over here where there's a question. Does he tell Mary Magdalene, my time to return to the Father has not yet come? What do you mean has not yet come? I thought you've died. Unless you hadn't died and you're telling those that my time hasn't come, my time will come another time. Because some people who are non-Muslims, they say the Quran says that Jesus died. This is a very important point. Does the Quran say Nabi Isa alayhi salam died or no? On the one level, in Surah 19 of the Quran from verse 35 onwards, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa salamu alayya yawma wulidtu wa yawma amutu. Peace be upon me, the day I was born and the day I will die. Because sometimes those who don't know their Arabic grammar are confused with this ayah. Yes. Salamun alayhi yawma wulidtu, the day I was born. Wa yawma amutu is when? In the future. Therefore, if it's in the future, when the Christian says to me, your Quran says, wa salamu alayhi yawma wulidtu wa yawma, wallah, I believe Jesus will die. 100% he will die. He will die. There'll be a day he'll die. He may be 2,000, 7,000, 16,000, 34,000 when he dies. But the Quran, when it says, wa salamu alayhi yawma wulidtu, وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّ Yes, in the future, we have no doubt. Another Christian comes. He says, your Quran still says that Jesus was dead. Where? They say in Surah 3, verse 55, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. Allah says, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. Now, when I see إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ, I have a problem, that's for sure. Why? Normally, when an imam dies, we call it wafat, don't we? Nabi Isa in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, says, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. Now I have an issue. إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. Baba, إِحْنَا, even us as Iraqis, for example, هَذَا تُوَفَّى. أَصْلًا مَنْ قُولْ هَذَا مَاتْ. What do we say? هَذَا تُوَفَّى. It's the Quran is saying to me, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. I'm looking at these. The Christian came and said, Baba, your own Quran is saying that he what? That he died. And that God said, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُطَاهِرُكَ. Allah is saying that I am the one who will cause you to die. This is a lack of understanding of what mutawaffiq or tawaffa or wafat means. Wafat, by the way, or mutawaffi. Do you know what that originally means? Originally means sleep. Bil-lugha, originally it means sleep. The main meaning of it is to grab hold of something in a way where it loses its freedom to act. We agree? I ask you all a question. Go to Surah Zumar, 39:42. Allah yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Oh no. When you die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grabs hold of your nafs. Let's say Allah grabs hold of your soul. No more control. True? How about those that don't die? وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُوتْ وَيْهِ فِي مَنَامِهَا. Ah, when I go to sleep, what happens to me? Allah also grabs hold of me. But do I die? No. And therefore, the idea of wafat doesn't always mean death. Because Allah in the Quran also said that when you go to sleep, I'm also the one who grabs hold of you and takes your soul, for example, in a way, but I can return it to you within a few seconds. When I go to, when I dream, when I'm asleep, my soul has left my body. So therefore, those who came and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ, they may come and tell you that God says, تُوَفَّى. Oh, Nabi Isa says, فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. Nabi Isa says, you're the one who... Of course, eventually, Nabi Isa on the Day of Judgment will say to God, you're the one who caused me to die. That there's no doubt about that. So therefore, for us, when the Christians come and give us verses that the Quran shows that Jesus did die, we have a reply for each. Then what does the Quran say? The most obvious reply of the Quran is what? Surah 4, verse 157. Because if your Christian friend at school today came to you and said to you, look, in your Quran, where does it blatantly say that Jesus was not killed? Surah 4, verse 157. وَقَوْلِهِمْ, the words of the Jews. إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We are the ones who killed the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. The Quran says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ. They did not kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. Nor did they crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Of course, some gave an argument over here. Their argument was, maybe Jesus did die on the cross, or maybe Jesus did die, but it wasn't the Jews who killed him. So وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The reply is, from some camps, is that, yeah, you're right. The Jews didn't kill him. The Romans killed him. So the Quran was only saying that they're liars, thinking they're the ones who killed him. It was actually the Romans. No, because the ayah ends, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. They definitely did not kill him. Rather, Allah caused him to ascend. Us and Christians both believe in what? We both believe in the ascension. Although the way we reach the ascension may be a bit different, but we both believe that Jesus ascended towards the heavens. Therefore, the Quran says, "Wama qataluhu yaqinan." Because someone might come and say to you, "Bro, the Quran doesn't deny the crucifixion. All the Quran saying that the Jews didn't cause it. It was rather the Romans." Say no, but the end of that verse says, "Wama qataluhu yaqinan." Verse 158 of Surah 4 then moves on, "Bal rafa'ahu Allah ilay." So therefore, a question arises. So what do we as Muslims then believe? Okay, I get it. That Jesus was not killed or crucified. So what exactly happened? The Quran says, "Wama qataluhu," they didn't kill him. "Wama salabuhu," nor did they crucify him. "Walakin shubbiha lahum." Three words can bring so many commentaries, so many tafasir, so much exegesis. Three words, "Walakin shubbiha lahum." It was made to appear to them. What does that mean? It was made to appear to them. Let's look at some of the opinions. One opinion that was given was the opinion that the person who was on the cross was Yahud al-Isqartabuti, Judas Iscariot. Judas is synonymous for a person who stabs you in the back. If a football player leaves one club, goes to another, and a rival club, they call him Judas. Yes, I think I remember it happened with Saul Campbell, if I'm not mistaken, when he left Spurs to go to Arsenal, they were calling him Judas. Judas, why? Backstabber. Yahud al-Isqarabuti was with who? Was with Nabi Isa alayhi salam as one of his disciples. But sometimes those closest to you are the ones who stab you in the back. Subhanallah. They are close to him. They're with him. They break bread with him. They travel with him. The opinion was that he sold to the Romans. You want to find him? I'll tell you where he is. He took them towards the place where he was. When he came out to tell them that, listen, he's in there. Allah has made his face appear like that of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So when these people looked at him, they're like, "Come on, Jesus. Come on, King of the Jews. Let's go." No, I'm getting him. "Come on, enough. You plot and we plot. You plan and we plan. We're the greatest of planners. What do you think? You guys can make fun of my prophet? That you think you can get away with all your murders? Wait, my dear brothers and sisters, when I come to Jesus and Imam al-Mahdi." And you see the similarities of why both of them had to go into an occultation at a certain period of time. But you see here that what do you have? You have this person, according to one opinion, that his face, Judas Iscariot, was the face of the person who was on that cross, rather than Nabi Isa alayhi salam. That's why one of the most often repeated lines you'll ever come across in the Gospels, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me?" I want to ask you all a question. God knew all this time that he was going to send his son according to Christianity? Yes. The son, when he came with his mission, what was his mission? "I'm going to die to make sure that you're purified of the original sin." What we have is original sin and atonement and so on. The son is ready to die for us. Every single Christian will say that Jesus died for our sins, that Jesus saved us, the grace of God saved us, the Son of God saved us. I always say there's three questions which I always ask Christians amongst many which I still don't have an answer for. One of them is that if Jesus is God, how does he not know when the hour is, when the day of judgment is? Another of them is when he says there is only one good, and that is the Father God, not me. He's making that distinction. I'm not understanding. Why doesn't he say him? Why does he say, no, go to the Father? The Father is good. All good is the Father. No one else is good. But the third one in particular is this one. Why does someone whose whole mission is this moment to die for mankind's sins and save them, because mankind has been in disarray, mankind has been in disbelief, mankind has been misguided, why at the moment of it do you say, God, why me? Compare that to any other martyr in religious history. Normally they're saying, for you God will give everything. I left the world for the sake of you. And I orphan my children so I may see you. If I'm cut into pieces for the love of you, my heart would lean to none other than you. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, when he's dying, what did he say? It is for this that the people do what they do. All of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, all of them, you always see them ready. Why on the cross would someone say, my God, why me? Baba, you've been teaching us for 30 years, it's going to be you. I'm not understanding why now, you're baffled. Why are you confused? Please explain to me. Unless the person on there is thinking, why me? Whoever's on that cross has now realized you try and backstab a prophet of God. And then you're going to be asking, why me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Because I cannot be Jesus according to Islamic belief. Because why would he be baffled on the cross? I'd expect him to be saying, you know what, this was meant to happen. And secondly, who are you talking to? I thought God has come down in the human, so who are you talking to? Hold on. There's one God and three persons. The God has come down as the Son in the human. Who is he talking to? He says, my God, who is he talking to? I'm not understanding. But then we'll never understand the Trinity. It's impossible. No one will understand. It's the most massive leap of faith in the history of mankind. So what do we have? What, my Lord, why me? For goodness sake, you've been telling me the whole of my life. Every Christian tells me that he's happy to die for me. Now he's saying, why? So on the one hand, وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, what was the opinion? The opinion was, it was made to appear in the sense of Judas Iscariot. The second opinion of which Sheikh Al-Tusi gives this opinion is that Jesus asked his disciples, which ones of you is ready to have their face change? Look by the Lord, it will be changed and you will be the one who will take my place. And the youngest of them said, me, it will be an honor for me. Allow me to be the one who takes your place, O Prophet of God. And that was the one. So the idea of someone being there eventually, on that pole, on that tree, whatever it was there. But it was one of Jesus' own ones who was ready to do that. It was one of his own ones who was ready to be there, to stand up at that moment and say, I am the one who's ready to do this. Therefore, for us as Muslims, how do we look at it? We believe, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ, is that they definitely, the Jews, wanted him dead. They wanted him killed. They took him to the Romans. They plotted everything. But remember, above all else, and this is a spiritual message, in life, you have people who plot against you. In life, you have people who work against you. While God is with you, don't lose any sleep. Yes? While God is alongside you, know one thing, they can plan and you plan. Allah is the best of planners. Allah will plan to make sure that those same people one day, they are the subjects of the humiliation that you've been put through. Don't we sometimes say in dua, وَمَنْ كَادَنِي فَكِدْ, whoever is the one who's plotted against me, then oh God, make sure that you block their plots. Yes? There are people who come forward, يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. Yes. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا فَمَهِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ مِلُمْ رُوَيْدًا. People will come and plan against you. They'll come and plot against you. As long as you have Allah with you, there'll be a day where those people will realize how God can block their plots. That's why the story of Nabi Isa, what does it show us? On the one hand, it shows us that beware that those closest to you may be the ones who backstab you. Yes, imagine that Judas, according to the reports, hangs himself at the end. Imagine, hangs himself. Why? Because he thought that by giving Jesus away, he'd get a big position with who? With the emperor of the time. The same way, Ju'da, wife of Imam al-Hasan, thought she'll get with Muawiyah. Because what led to the killing of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad's own grandson, Hasan alayhi salam? Muawiyah said to Ju'da, his wife, he said to her, kill Hassan, I'll promise you, you'll have who? Yazid. She was ready. She got some of the worst poison against Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. That's one of our ulama says that the poison was administered to every Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Yes, but the most severe poison was to who? Was to Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. She plotted against him. Imagine, not only did he have his own cousin Ubaidullah bin Abbas get bribed by Muawiyah and join him, but his own flesh and blood, those who he relied on, those who sat with him. The same way Jesus, his own people were the ones who turned against him. The same with Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. That poison begun to surround the body of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam that fateful night. Ya Allah, take our hearts on a night like this to Jannat al-Baqi and to the lonely graves of Imam al-Hasan and Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq and Umm al-Baneen. Take your hearts on a night like this to Jannat al-Baqi, even if it's only a small tear that you shed for the Mujtaba. Never forget the poison that Aba Abdullah saw next to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, when he saw the blood coming from the mouth of the Imam into the bowl that was in front of him. All of a sudden Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam said, oh Hussein, oh Hussein, cover the bowl in front of me. Imam al-Hussein wondered why the covering of the bowl. He said to him, because I hear the footsteps of Zainab alayhi salam, and I don't want Zainab to see this sight in front of her. Of course, who would want their sister to see the sight of blood, to see the sight of blood in the middle of a bowl in front of her? If this sight you thought was difficult for Zainab alayhi salam, then how about the sight of seeing your brother's head in a bowl in Sham? At least you covered the bowl of your own blood, whereas Yazid poked the teeth and the eyes of your brother in front of your sister Zainab alayhi salam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let's raise our hands, my dear brothers and sisters. Ya Allah, raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Raise us with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib Al Asri wa Zaman. Allow us to be amongst his companions in this world and to receive his intercession in the hereafter. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah Al Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli ala.